Radio. The transmission and reception of electromagnetic waves on radio frequency, especially those carrying sound messages, or the activity or industry of broadcasting sound programs to the public. Fanboy. A male fan, especially one who behaves in an obsessive or overexcited way.
This is the Radio Fanboy Podcast, and here's your host, Bevo.
Love doing these podcasts because I'm catching up with old friends, people I haven't seen for a very long time. And this lady I've worked with a couple of times. Last time would have been with Grant Broadcasters on the Sunshine Coast. She was doing the morning show for the Zinc Network. These days, she's a voiceover artist, a freelance voiceover artist in WA. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome along Belinda Cotton. Hello, Belinda.
Yay. Hey, Bevo.
We used to call you Belle. Do you still get the nickname Belle?
Yeah, it's much easier to get your head around than Belinda, I think.
Absolutely. We were just talking about, before we got on and started recording, the nuances, the different sounds, where you live and how you say certain words. So you've noticed there's a bit of a Queensland twang, I guess you could say, when you moved over east?
Well, as a voiceover artist, you need to record all of your voices in the regional dialect. Yeah. And I think most Australians are going to be like, what are you talking about? There's no difference in accents. And obviously it's not as obvious as somewhere like the UK or the US, but it's definitely there. And the most noticeable ones are, I think, your Queensland accent, which is very broad, and your Adelaide accent, which is very British, and your Melbourne accent, where Melburnians change their, I'm trying really hard to be polite, change their vowel sounds. And so, for example, in Melbourne, they call me Bell instead of Bell.
Oh, right. Bell.
See, it's quite subtle. And if I say this to my husband, he's like, you are insane. And I'm like, no, it's literally my job to hear what's different in things. And so I get a lot of Bell. So when people are like, hey, Bell, I'm like, hey, you're from Victoria.
See, I'd never know that until you pointed that out. It's really interesting finding these things out. I thought, you know, coming to Queensland, you'd be finishing every sentence with A.
Yeah, that's right. I did that for 9 years. And then coming back to Western Australia and being a more formal voiceover as opposed to a more casual voiceover, I had to try and get my Perth accent back. And it was quite hard work because the Queensland accent is so easy to lapse into. It's so relaxed and it's really, I won't say it's an easy thing to do because you're not doing it. Mm. It's just you relax into it. Yeah. And so getting back out of it, you've got to tense up and that's not fun.
Oh, so yeah, it's just like you walk into a studio and you go, oh, can't be fucked. What's the script? Let's go sort of thing. Is that the sort
can't
of-
Can't be fucked. That's what you'd say in Queensland. That can't be fucked, eh?
Yeah. Exactly. let's talk about your wonderful career in radio. Where did you start? What was your beginnings in getting into the industry?
Well, I went to the West Australian Academy of Performing Arts and did broadcasting.
Yeah.
And so the genesis of my – well, because originally I wanted to be a TV newsreader. Over here in Perth, we have these two newsreaders that have been reading the news since before I was born. Now, I'm not sure if that's technically correct, but Rick Arden and Susanna Carr. And I grew up basically just idolising them and wanting to be them. And, yeah, they're still reading the news now. And they're amazing. So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a TV newsreader. So I auditioned for WOPR, which is, you know, it's a bit like NIDA.
Really? You were always thinking about your auditioning for a Hungry Jack's commercial.
I wouldn't mind. That'd be right. And I think I auditioned two or three times. Can't remember. Finally got in. And then when I was there, it was an associate degree rather than an actual undergrad degree.
Yeah.
So it only went for 2 years. And in the first year you concentrated more on radio, and then in the second year you concentrated more on television. So I was like, oh, I'll just float through this radio thing until I can learn to read the news on TV. Yeah. And of course, along the way, I went, oh, radio's so much better.
Yes, isn't
There's
it?
There's a lot less call for sitting in makeup chairs and getting your hair done and having to buy nice clothes, to be honest with you. I think everyone who's worked in radio has literally done a shift in their pajamas at one stage or another.
Having said that, though, I have seen you on TV. You're a game show contestant at one stage. What show was that again?
The Chase Australia.
That's right. Did you win? I can't remember. I can't remember the outcome.
Like most Chase Australia contestants, no.
No. No. It's too hard.
It's tight-fisted, that show. Yeah. Nobody wins.
Is that how they get through it and throw big amounts of cash that no one could win?
Yeah, $12,000 we could have had, $12,000. But I walked away with nothing.
Oh, well. All good. Anyway, carry on with your story.
So, yeah, during my first year at Whopper, I actually realised that perhaps radio was more for me. And so we started off working on campus radio, which is just a radio station that goes to only the campus. And you've got no choice whether you listen to it or not because it's piped everywhere. So, you know, you think you're a bit of a rock star. Yeah, that's me on the radio.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
And then the key to getting into radio, and I stand by this now, 25, 30 years later, is do as much work for free as you can. So during uni, we were doing a lot of free stuff. So I was working on a station called 6EBA, which is an international radio station.
Is that right? I've never heard of that one.
It's so cool.
Where does it go? Like
just to Perth.
But you said international.
Oh, it's got international shows on it.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I didn't mean to mislead you.
Kind of like SBS on radio. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Similar sort of thing. Right, gotcha.
Yeah, that's right. So it'll have an Arabic show and it'll have a German show and it'll have a Spanish show. And then in there it had a little radio show from the WA Academy of Performing Arts.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I also worked on information radio, which is radio for the blind, where you go and read the daily press. You're reading magazine articles, you're reading newspapers so that blind people can hear that.
So you've had a lot of experience reading. I was talking to Cassie Aldridge, who's also a voiceover artist, and she was saying that was her number one tip for people that wanted to get into voiceovers is just read aloud and, you know, listen to how people read, and that's how you sort of get that practice and that experience behind you.
I think that's good advice.
Yeah.
Read aloud. Yeah, absolutely. And record yourself and listen to what you sound like.
Yeah.
Because we've got so much variance in our voice and so much range, but you're not going to recognise that if you don't experiment with it.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of free work. I went and I drove an hour into the country once a week and worked at a country radio station, and I did some producing at the Talkback station here in Perth, and I worked for the ABC for a little while, which is a bit of a claim to fame. They actually paid me money.
Cool.
Yeah. As a newsreader, which I never got to read the news, but that's not the point.
You kind of got there. You got a little taste of news, not quite on television, but, you know, radio was the new passion by the sounds of it.
I was a newsreader for a while. I actually really enjoy it. Reading news is fun, but I don't like writing news. I'm actually really lazy. I don't like doing any work. So being a voiceover is actually excellent because I don't actually have to do any work. The scripts get sent to me. I read them and send them back. Yeah. That's not work. But if I had to write the scripts, I'd be like, oh, this job's terrible.
So you did all that. And how did you get into your first job in commercial radio? Whereabouts was that?
So when I used to drive down, when I was at uni, 1998 was my great year of unemployment. I'd finished uni. I'd done a couple of degrees. I'd finished uni. And I was like, right, I'm going to go and get a job now. And, of course, I didn't. Oh. So I spent an entire year unemployed. When I say unemployed, I mean I didn't have a permanent job. I had seven either voluntary or casual jobs. Right. And all at different radio stations. And one of those was driving out for an hour out into the country and working at a station called 6AM in Northam. And I went to their – so I worked there for the whole year, just going and doing their community service announcements. And it was back on reel-to-reel back in those days. Yeah. So things like the local show, voiceovers for the local show, voicing some commercials, a little bit of panel operating. And then the sister station in Narrogin, 6NA, they were like, oh, we need a fill-in announcer. Do you want to come and work for us. It's a full-time job. So do some admin and then, you know, when the radio announcer's off, you can fill in. And I was like, yes, a job. Thank goodness. So I packed up my bongos and moved to Narrogin. And that was my first full-time job in radio as a fill-in announcer. I had to run admin. It was a two-person station. Run admin, panel the footy, and fill in for the announcer when he took the day off. And he took not one single day off.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So you went there with starry eyes thinking this is your big break and nothing.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Yes. And then the company did the infamous radio thing and said, oh, actually, we're going to need you to do some work in sales. And I went, oh, that's right. Oh, you're going to need to find a different job.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, exactly.
I sold exactly one advertising package, and I think about that poor man to this day. I serviced him so badly.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that, mate.
You won't be revisiting the sales department anytime soon.
I was terrible at it. It's definitely some people are excellent at sales, and I actually admire them because there's money in sales, isn't there?
Yeah, well, they've always got the best cars in the car park.
That's correct. That wasn't me. So then I moved up to a different regional station in Western Australia, and that's where I did news reading, and I had my own midday current affairs show. It was awesome.
Oh, wow. And what was it called?
Goldfields Today.
Oh, yes. Very good. I like to
Goldfields say. Today with Belinda Green.
Oh, there you go. This is the voiceover artist coming out in Bell.
And it was so good. So it was all about what was happening that day in the gold fields. And I loved it. To this day, I love the gold fields. Fantastic place.
Yeah. Would have been quite an eye-opener and a big learning experience too, especially getting to do news and current affairs. And you would have had to do some writing this time, Belle.
No, someone gave me the news. I didn't have to write
right?
the news.
Oh, you got out.
The copywriter. Wrote the news, actually, so that was pretty awesome. But as for doing the current affairs, I had to get my head around a regional area, which, you know, as an older person who's moved around a lot, it takes a while to get your head around a new area when you've moved to it.
Yeah.
So, it was very eye-opening, but also awesome. The goldfields are a pretty transient area. No one's from there. Everyone's from somewhere else. So everyone was in the same boat. It was a fantastic experience, both, you know, work-wise and socially as well.
You you later joined the Hot FM network in Western Australia, didn't you?
So that was the FM side of the AM side where I was working. And yeah, the boss came down and he said, oh, look, come and try out for this job in Bunbury and on the FM station. And whilst I'd been sitting in Narrogin not filling in for the guy that was working there, I'd been listening to the FM stream and noticing there were no standalone females.
Oh.
And it really bothered me. I was like, why are there no standalone females? How come the only female on the station is the breakfast sidekick?
Yeah.
And back in those days, the female breakfast announcer was the sidekick for sure.
Yeah.
The anchor was the meat and potatoes, and she was just a little bit of custard for dessert. And I wasn't happy with it, and I was like, no, we need standalone female announcers. I think I'm going to be that person.
Oh, good
and on ya. Next thing you know, they're like, come and have a tryout for actually it was for the breakfast sidekick.
Oh, really?
But then as regional radio is quite famous for, I ended up reading the news, breakfast sidekick plus mornings all at the same time. So I started on air at 6 and finished at 2.
That's a big day.
That's ridiculous. When you think about it now, you're like, oh, that is just ridiculous. Plus also reading the news in the breakfast shift. But it's better than digging ditches, you know.
Yeah, well, you must have just gone home and just crashed. Like, that's a long on-air shift. Like, usually the longest you sort of hear of is 6 hours, but 8 hours, wow.
Yeah, and, you know, having to change hats midway through and do this and do you that. But that's what regional radio is about. It really, it's such an excellent basis when you're talking about radio.
Yeah, well,
you've got to go and do jobs like that so that you can learn how every aspect of the station works and you can learn how to do it and you can learn that you don't want to do it so that you specialise and get better at it.
Yeah, well, you do it and you say, right, I'm going to work on getting out of here as soon as I can, so off you go.
And as much as that sounds like a negative, it's not, is it?
No.
It's a really excellent basis, I think.
So you made it across to the East Coast. Was that after working there at Hot FM?
Yeah, so it was a large network that I was working for, and there were parts of that network in Western Australia and there were parts in Queensland. And so I was like, oh, I've worked at a few of these stations now in WA, four. So I would like to go and try Queensland. And then one of the managers from the Western Australian station went to work at the Cairns station. And he, just before he left, I said, hey, mate, if any jobs come up, give me a call. And he literally did.
Oh, good.
That was as much as a surprise to me as it was to anybody, I think. And he's like, all right, Belle, we've got this station. I want you to come and work at it. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll be there next week. And I was, because that's what radio is like, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think I met you when you were working at the WA station. You came to Sydney to do the music director's course at Aftus.
Yes, I did.
That was so long ago now. I think I was working at ARN or something in Sydney. And, yeah, I remember meeting you and that was our first introduction, our first meeting.
Geez, that was a very long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't even remember what year it was.
2003 or 4, yes. Maybe? Yeah.
Early. It was there. Early. Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
So you were doing music at the time at Hot FM, were you? Or you were interested and you wanted to learn?
Yeah, no, I had been doing music for a while. I obviously didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
So I went and did the Aftus course and found out that, oh, it's all right. I did kind of know what I was doing anyway.
Yeah. So you went across to the East Coast in Cairns, did you say? You got a job there?
Yeah, went to Cairns, worked in Cairns for a while, went to Townsville, worked in Townsville for a while, and then down to the Sunshine Coast, which is where you and I worked together.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you came down, you were doing copywriting for a while, but you weren't having a bar of that and you wanted to get on air, didn't you? I remember that.
Yeah, no, I wasn't hired as a copywriter. I was hired as an announcer, but I had to fill in on copy for a little while until the job came up.
Yeah, gotcha.
And, you know, it was probably just a blatant lie from management, but that was the deal. And they had made me redundant in Townsville and they said, look, if you come down to the Sunshine Coast, we'll get you on air, but you just need to sit in copy for a little bit. And I was like, wow, there's not a job in a radio station that I hate more than copy. So maybe sales, I suppose. But yes, I'll do that temporarily for you. And of course, as a result, everyone thought I was a copywriter, which wasn't. I wasn't. I'm terrible at it as well.
Yeah. Well, you got to do what you got to do sometimes, but
you've got to do what you've got to do.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be on the Sunshine Coast and I thought it was a good station. So I did that. And then everyone was like, oh, you wanted to be an announcer. I'm like, no, I've always been an announcer.
Yeah. It's amazing how you get pigeonholed. Like, here I was in Sydney radio and I came up and I was the fill-in guy on Sunshine Coast and they just thought, oh, yeah, he's just a fill-in guy, won't do any major shifts or anything like that. And, yeah, it's just funny how you get pigeonholed when you start a job. They think that's what you do. That's all you do.
But you're absolutely right. You've got to do what you want to do. It includes doing the hard yards and no one's too good to do any job. Like, copy is an amazing job. The people who write copy have got a huge task. Creative, I think it's preferred to be called, isn't it? People who work in creative. I mean, that's don't allow me to disparage that job just because it's not for me. It's an amazing job and they're not always treated very well at the station. So I think that's a hugely admirable role, but it's not who I was, you know?
How long did you end up doing that for when you came down to the Sunny Coast?
8 months.
Oh, wow.
And I was supposed to be doing it for 3 months.
Yeah.
But if you look closely at my resume, it's not there anymore. It's a bit of a surprise. Oh. Okay. It just disappeared.
Evaporated. That's not what you want to focus on. You don't want to go there again for some reason.
Nah, well, like I said, I'm terrible at it. It's a high stress, especially in a regional station, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because that's right. You're in a department that was doing the whole state's commercials, wasn't that the deal?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
That's right, yeah.
It was quite a big department, a lot of work, a lot of churning through. You know, the term sausage factory comes to mind.
Yeah. So from there, I remember you did a couple of weekends on Hot 91 and then you landed a job on Zinc.
Yeah, I was the fill-in on Hot for that whole time.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I'd find myself working 7 days a week because I'd get rostered on Hot on the weekends.
Yeah.
And then, you know, be work, and I was like, no, I'm grateful to be doing this. I'm super happy. I'm so glad I made this move.
Yeah.
Well done, Belinda. Yeah. And luckily it had the same name as one of my previous stations, so I didn't mess it up too much.
It always comes down to the phone number for me. If I've moved stations, I mean, I'll move from Sydney back to Brisbane and was doing Triple M at one stage and I think I got the frequency wrong or something like that. And even the phone number when you first come back, but you soon get corrected very quickly.
Oh, it's terrifying. I've I've misnamed many a station, and it's just you've got that neural pathway burned in your brain.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd write it in big letters. I'd stick it all around. I'd stick it in my direct eye line, and I'd still get it wrong. What a nightmare.
So you did quite a few years on Zinc, and then you you ended up back in your hometown in WA.
8 years on Zinc as a full-time announcer and doing voiceovers on the side. So I've always, I think in radio you always do voiceovers on the side because you've always got to voice ads for the station.
Yeah.
But I always did my own freelancing on the side, with permission, I might add.
Oh, and, that's good.
So I was always full-time radio and just a bit of voiceovers on the side. And then when I came back to Perth, I started doing full-time voiceovers and I did a little bit of radio on the side. I went and worked for 94.5 as a casual because I thought I'll keep my hand in,
yeah.
Just in case I want to go back to radio.
Oh, but I love your voiceovers. Like, well, I'm hearing you all the time here. I'm between Brisbane and the Sunshine Coast. I hear a lot of your voice on Domain and Harvey Norman. There's a lot of stuff on the Sunny Coast stations as well. So I think is that through Purple Wax you do a lot of stuff as well?
So Purple Wax do all the creative work for grant broadcasters. So going through a if you hear a grant station, that's what I'm doing there. But the Domain ads go through a different agency because actually national.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
Because I used to live in Queensland for so long, the bulk of my work is actually based in Queensland, and I don't really hear very much of myself over here in Perth.
No, well, I drop in and say, oh, I hear on this, this and this, and you're like, oh, really? I don't know that.
No, and so I think I'm like, oh, no, I'm a failure. I'm doing a terrible job. Nobody likes me. And then, then I speak to someone from Queensland, like, oh, could you get off the radio, please?
Well, that's a good problem to have, Belle, still being heard on radio.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And reading ads, it's actually something I didn't used to like about when I worked in radio, but because it was just another job that had to be done, you know, on your huge list of jobs that had to be done. But now that I only read ads, I'm like, man, this job is fantastic.
Yeah, and you're so good at it. Do you do it from your bedroom or do you have to go into a recording studio in Perth?
I really appreciate you saying that. Thank you. But I'm totally in the back bedroom of my house. The setup is actually really much more simple than you might think. I mean, we fantasize about working in radio studios, but, you know, it's expensive business. So I've just invested in a decent microphone. And
go on, drop the specs. We all love the equipment set up in home studios. What do you got? What are you rocking?
Oh, shit, do we? God, I don't know.
putting you on the spot now.
I've got a Rode NTI-A.
Yep.
Which I was originally advised was good for female voices, but I've since heard it's no good for female voices. Oh, so
you sound fine through now. Is that what you're on?
Yeah.
Talking through now? Yeah, okay, yep.
Thanks. and then I've just got a Steinberg digital interface into a laptop.
Okay, cool. And sound cladding.
It's literally as simple as that. And I've got this thing called it's literally called a mic thing. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I'm going to look it up.
That's its literal name, a mic thing. So M-I-C, mic, a mic thing. And it's just a little bit of, soundproofing that you put around your mic.
Okay.
On a brace, on a tower.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. It's like a bit of foam and it's in the shape of an arc sort of thing.
There's probably a million different ones of them, but yeah, it's fine. And you know, I've been doing voiceovers for 4 years full time now, and I've been harboring fantasies about turning this room into a radio studio and double glazing the windows and
on air light.
some velvet audio curtains and some acoustic battening in the ceilings, and I've done precisely nothing.
Oh, I love it. Belle, thank you so much for joining us on the Radio Fanboy podcast. You've always been on the list, and we finally got there and spoke to you, and we made it to your bedroom. This is exciting.
Oh, Jesus. Super fun, Bevo. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. You want to find out more about the podcast, hit us up online, theradiofanboy.com.au.
The Radio Fanboy Podcast, hosted by Bevo and produced by Matt Fulton Productions. Dan Hill speaking.